One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do, 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 do.
Exciting and new.
Woo.
Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love!
It's everybody's favorite thing, the sequel, Return of the Butter.
I look like I'm jacking off a dick,
I'm
y'all,
churning,
but I'm actually churning
and
butter.
Yearning. I've been sitting backstage.
Y'all,
watching y'all talk about this.
Someone got her summer sandals at Famous Footwear, and she is so excited to wear them on this tell-all. So excited.
She's wearing, y'all, Butter. Butter's done her hair. Kip Winger lent her his wig.
This outfit is horrible. She looks like the purple thing from McDonald's.
Grimace,
because it's just... Dark.
He is never the purple thing. He is Grimace. He is a name.
Put
some respect on Grimace's name.
It's true. I should. You're right. But she's wearing these bluish kind of purple pants and then a purple. The top is nice. The pants are nice. Together, not nice.
No, this was absolutely reprehensible. This
Put
choice.
Her in some dark gray pants, people.
Yeah. This was not a good choice.
Y'all. Everyone at the crew can't stand Butter.
Y'all, this is reality gays.
This is reality gays talking tell-all part one, but our part two,
because we were long-winded. We said
we're going to do it in one time, and we did. It's like when a guy with a 10-inch dick comes over, or same for me, and says, we're only going to have sex one time. That never happens.
We'll see about that.
See about that. Afterwards, I give you some dessert, and then you stay and eat the cupcake, and then you stay and eat my cupcake. Again.
Or like one did to me and post-mated cake and didn't take it. So I had to eat the cake. I had to eat the cake and quite a shame.
Ooh, boy. Y'all, Mike and Natalie are back again because Butter is here.
Because Butter's here. I guess the editing team thought that we'd had a little too much levity,
so
we needed to bring in Butter.
And y'all, Ron is sick. What can we do?
And y'all, she's basically like pawing the floor like a bull back there.
Oh, she's
she can't wait to get out there.
She said she is the one who's detrimental to everything. When they got married, I was pissed for a week.
I'm going to stand up for Michael.
For Michael.
And Natalie's face when Butter comes out, it's just...
Trish.
She's terrified,
Trish.
Y'all.
No, Trish, I don't. And Sean, she walks out and sits, and Sean says...
Well, it's so nice.
On a little fainting couch over there.
It's so nice to have you here, Butter. She's like, thank you.
It's lovely to be here.
And she said, so Mike said he's filing for divorce.
Perfect.
So perfect. I'm encouraging him to.
I'm just picturing Sean Robinson saying, so nice to have you here, Butter.
So nice to have you here, Butter. So nice. So nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
So y'all, Butter launches in and she says, you know,
she's got a whole argument, y'all.
She's like, I believe she's just lying to him about everything. Everything has to be about you, Natalie.
And she's like, God bless you.
God bless
you. Well, thank you for blessing me.
Thank you for blessing me. Now, Butter says that Natalie doesn't even tell him. She says, you never tell him that you love him.
I'm trying to think if we've seen that. You know, I don't remember this season. Huh.
I mean, it's not really the Ukrainian way.
And I would say, does Mike say, I love you? I don't know if I saw that a ton.
I don't know.
I don't know. Y'all, Butter's here to settle scores.
Butter's here to settle scores. And mainly, y'all, finally, Sean Robinson is bringing up Hookergate. Finally, we're going to get answers to this.
We're going to get answers to Hookergate, y'all.
Yes.
Because here's the thing, y'all. The producers have footage of this.
They have footage of this. And she says, she's like, why you call me hooker, Trish? Why you call me hooker? And Sean says, Butter. Did you call Sean a hooker?
Butter's over there making butter eyes like this.
I would say, Sean Robinson, if you're listening, you're not. But if Sean Robinson actually called her Butter, I would
expire on the spot. Butter,
reality gaze is no more. No more. No more.
I would go, ooh. Just hold a lily.
Butter is that.
Like, I never called her a hooker.
She is that pissed off parent that's going to go talk to the baseball coach because her kid has never played.
That was Mother
Hey, that was Papa Mar. Except it was football.
Why is my son, why is Jay Bird why is he out from soccer?
Because he's a big gay wad, ma'am, and he screams when the ball's kicked his way.
He misses. We put him on defense, but he holds up his hands so the ball won't hit him in the head.
He's touching the ball and saying, no, no, no. And then he's prancing in the back by the goalpost doing a striptease.
We saw him just looking off in space the other day and wishing on a star.
Yeah. Exactly. Mother Poodle. Doesn't work that way. He cut up the hockey net and used it as the goal net and used it as a skirt. Not going to work out.
Never was very athletically inclined.
Mother Poodle. Yeah.
She's like,
but
makes
y'all
sense.
Know, when you're that parent going to talk when that your child has been wronged by a sports team, there's an anger that is that comes from deep within. Because what actually is, it's not that your kid isn't playing the sport, it's that someone didn't see your child.
Yep, that's
didn't
what it is.
Validate your child. And that's when she says, you never even tell him that you love him. Butter doesn't understand. I have babied this man. He's this wonderful human being.
Right.
He never does his mother wrong. How can you not see what a good boy he is?
He called me Punkasaurus. We have nicknames.
We have nicknames, and you don't even see it.
She says, Sean's asking her, what else has she lied about? And that's when she says, she never loved my son.
And she says, I never called her
a
hooker.
Her
a hooker. And she says, Trish, I heard it. Trish, I saw it.
And because, y'all, this is the thing with Natalie, and I mentioned on the previous podcast.
Maybe I'm crazy.
She is a frightened animal running from an owl who's about, yes. and she's in crisis mode. So she pivots. This is how she survives. So she realizes she's not winning. She's like, well, I found naked boobs on his phone. After he proposed me when we were in France, I found naked boobs.
Butter just saying she just wants to go to America. She's lying about hookers. I don't think she loved him at all.
So
butter.
So when they bring that up about boobs on his phone,
I want to say that, which is true. Butter says, son, how many times did you go over there and it didn't go well?
Right, that's what he said.
And Mike's like, we did have our disagreements, because Mike actually
didn't go good.
Mike counters his own mother and says, there was love there. Remember, y'all, Mike, a part of Mike needs to know that she really loved him.
Oh, yeah.
And that the love went sour. Remember,
that's a part of him.
Butter keeps saying, son, she's using you. She never loved you.
Not helpful for him.
Listen to your son and say, okay,
yeah,
there's love there, but where's the love now? Butter's not going there.
But when she's like, yeah, she's like, but we were in France and it was all nice until you kind of went crazy. She's like, I found naked boobs on your phone. Now, this is interesting. Sean says, how did you get his phone? She's like, he gave it to me. And because they were taking pictures. So, of course, Natalie being Natalie went to the deleted files. And I believe this. And when I'm in a relationship, I'm not going to look at someone's deleted files. That's me. Because I believe that's, would you look at deleted files?
No. I don't care. She tried to perceive it as she was taking the phone, she was taking pictures, and she just happened to
accidentally saw boobs.
But I'm looking at the phone. I'm like, well, when you take a picture on your phone, if I'm looking at someone's photos, I look at their current photos, not their deleted photos.
Yeah.
This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like, you actively have to go look at the deleted photos.
And Yara says, Yara starts talking to Butter. Please, Butter. You are too involved.
She said, this man is not your husband.
Yeah. Butter doesn't care.
Butter just is like,
She's paw on the ground again.
You just wanted to be married and stay in this You know what?
You wanted to come to America.
This reminds me of bad politicians who don't know how to debate and just keep saying the same thing over and over. Kind of like some people. And hey, it works. People have been elected president for just saying the same thing over and over.
Oh, yes.
Because then people.
More than once.
Yes. And people then just start believing that case over and over. They're like, if I just keep saying this, someone's going to believe it.
Right.
And that's Butter's stance on this. Because y'all, did she call Natalie a hooker? I'm going to say I believe yes.
I'm starting with, so because that was that leaked text that we found.
Where Mike admitted it.
Because they were talking about an escort. And in a Butter argument, Butter would say, I didn't call you a hooker, Natalie. I said, well, an escort, isn't that kind of like a hooker?
Yeah.
And
I know they have this footage. Isn't it
absolutely infuriating?
But maybe they don't, because I feel like they would show it.
Yeah.
Especially if they're talking about having Natalie on the sequel Life, they would want to have her redeemed.
Right. I agree. And
so that
Natalie did not come off well.
And she didn't come well at all. And so Natalie says, if I wasn't in love, why would I do this? And then that's finally when Angela says, I'm fucking sick of you being the fucking victim. If you don't like Mike, take your ass out.
And we've all kind of been saying that.
It's we've all been, but I feel like, that's a reductive way of looking at this in an American way.
It's Angela, of course it is.
In an American way of looking at this.
Mm-hmm.
Because y'all, she literally gave up her entire life.
Right.
Sold thing, whatever, packed up a couple of suitcases and came to another country. So it's like you're saying that when you go to Shakey's Pizza and you eat too much, you can just go back home and sleep it off and start the new day all over again.
Why would you mention pizza?
But
boy, someone's wanting today.
We've all been to Shakey's Pizza and we've all made bad decisions. And so
sometimes both
at
the same time.
You can't just say to Natalie, just go back to your country, spend the night, and then when you wake up the next morning, it's going to be like you've never left.
No, I totally agree with you. I'm saying what I say is, why are you? I think it's a fair thing to say. I'm thinking of the intention of when she says, "Why are you with him?
Well,
why are you with him?"
Yes, that's it. But I just feel like, I know she didn't say this, but Julia says this,
right?
And Andre and Angela, take your ass out, which really means take your ass back home to your country.
But the next part of she says, if you don't love him, let him go.
That I totally agree. Right. I think that's, I just want to, that terminology of when America, that just bothers me when
to
American
leave,
people
yeah.
are like, take your ass back. It's like,
well, no, we do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we've talked about that a lot.
And Angela says, like, you're true. She's like, if you don't love him, and then Julia even chimes in and she's like, this is why we fight for so long, because of this K-1 visa, and kind of like,
she's like,
you make a mockery of this.
K-3? Or K-5? K-9 visa. That's for dogs. We get Simba visa.
Simba. That's how Simba. And she's like, do you want to go back or no? And Natalie won't answer it.
And then she pivots again. And this is, we're watching, that's why I keep referring to her, we're watching a frightened animal attempt to survive. And she's finally, so, fine, I use my fur green card. Is that what you want to hear?
I know you hate me. I don't hate you. Butter, I don't hate you. You've been nothing but evil to him since you bought that parquet home. Because parquet is not butter.
Butter.
Doesn't have the nutrients. Doesn't have the milk fat that butter does. It doesn't
help. It
makes
you smart.
Doesn't
so
make
you
smart
go.
Like butter does. And I want a smart, butterfied son.
I want him to find a good old butter girl.
That's it, Natalie. You're not butterfied.
So, y'all, at the break, they're taking a break. And Natalie makes a beeline to Trish and says, and she basically,
she says, I know you hate me, but I don't hate you, butter.
This is interesting. We find out in the break that Natalie hasn't even told her mother she's not with Michael.
No, because Butter says,
wow.
If it's not, and I agree with this, she says, the problem is if it's not Natalie's way, then it's nothing. Then it's the high,
well, that was
not
the
even
kick
the highway.
The can. The kick the can thing we talked about.
Yes,
there's no compromise.
She said, you've used him. Do you think Natalie used him at first?
She would never explain it that way.
But I think she cared for him and she used him. I think it's both.
I think using someone. I think we don't have a very big definition of that, and we perhaps should. I think we all use one another in lots of relationships.
I think Mike used her.
And I think we all use one another for, and maybe I think when we say the phrase, he used him, it means that it's single-handedly and she doesn't care for him at all.
Yeah.
Because I do think there's part of her that really does love him, kind of.
Did. Not anymore, but did.
Yeah.
Again,
I think there's a big
idea.
Part of her that he loves her. I think he still does.
Yes.
But I don't think either of them are very, I don't think either of them are very, have very deep wells of love.
No, they're not deep people. And
they need it, but they can't give it.
And Butter keeps going off on tangents. Like, she goes on to say, you even said Bojangles doll stole her jewelry.
And she doubles down. She's like, no, he stole it. He stole jewelry.
She's like, are you joking? Are you joking? And she's like, but she's like, what are we fighting? Of course, he stole it. And she said,
you pawned him.
You pawned him.
Now, this is infinitely provable.
Give us the receipts.
I'm kind of like, if they, I would love for, and also why, if Natalie's done with Mike, why was there no police report filed for stolen jewelry?
Yeah.
If she's done with all that, maybe she thinks they'll send her back or whatever, but it all feels a little bit, it all feels like Natalie just wants to kick the can further down the road. It's avoidance. So Mike will keep paying for me.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to come on the tell all because as long as I'm living in Florida, as long as we don't talk, he'll forget he's paying my rent.
And then 2 years will come up and I can get my green card and I'm fine.
Exactly.
And then I can get my mom over here.
So in a way, she is using him.
Not in a way. She's using him.
Yeah. So let's talk about.
But this is what I want to say where then Butter undercuts everything because, y'all, Butter tries to say that Natalie doesn't love him. But, y'all, what this is, I think, for Butter is really about is I would like to find him
a
good old gal. And y'all, that means an American gal.
A Butter.
That means a non-immigrant gal.
Butterina.
Yes. That means someone with traditional American
traditional values.
Like fucking Butter wants. Because she has the empathy and the insight to see other people. That is about a negative one on her scale to see other people for who they are.
I'll miss Butter. No, I won't.
She will never approve of Mike dating someone from another country.
No.
Ever.
Nope. And she'll act like she will. But yeah.
It'd be the same if he dated an American girl who was black. She would have a problem with that.
I think
she would. I don't want to put words in her. I just think she wants a good old white country girl for Mike.
Okay. I think that's a fair thing. We also don't know her.
I don't know, but I don't mind talking shit about her.
I know, but I don't want to accuse someone of being racist without seeing evidence.
That's true.
Yeah, because the thing is I could point to all these things, but I don't want to accuse someone of doing that unless I see a behavior.
That's true.
Because we don't know. She does fit the profile.
She does.
But it's the same thing with people calling people Proud Boys.
Yeah, that's true. You know? That's true.
So I'm not about that.
I agree.
I'm not about that kind of life.
I'm not about that kind of life. So Natalie calls her mother in the green room.
Because she knows she's going to watch this, find out sometimes.
And Natalie calls and she says, okay, mother, I'm calling you. And mother, I need your support. And I need you to, the way she says to her mother, like basically, I need you to support me right now. It kind of shows, like you love your mother, but it seems like your mother's really hard on you and can destroy you.
Well, we've never seen that side. Now, and I'm not saying that it doesn't exist.
The lunacy apple, I don't think, falls far from the tree.
It's interesting.
It wasn't good the way when you have to kind of preface this, like with my own mother, I wouldn't say, mom, I don't need a lecture. I wouldn't say that because my mom, if I explained what was happening, if I told my mother I was getting divorced, she would say, oh my God, are you okay? Yeah.
Well, because she knows how much her mother likes Mike.
And this is also marriage number 3 for Natalie.
Yep. And she says to her mom, it's been 4 months since we've been together.
We've destroyed our love.
That was very poetic, wasn't it?
Well, like she lives in poetry. She lives.
She does.
Poetry is the ideal. So of course she lives there.
She's like, Mama, you have to understand. I don't want to tell you that for a few months. Michael and I are not
we
together.
Have done. Please forgive me. Click.
basically, Mike says, she's like, he's going to be filing for divorce. And even when she says, Mom, he's so mean to me. I thought he would be nicer to me. We had such big dreams. And to that, Mom says, I'm very upset. I am very, very upset. And she kind of
makes it about her.
She makes it about her. Yep. And that's when Natalie says, I cannot. And she hangs up the phone and says, this is bullshit.
And that's seemingly the end of Mike and Natalie.
Oh, I'm sure there's going to be more in part
two. Please, please. I don't want any more.
It's going to be in part two, y'all. They're both going to lawyer up.
Well, how's Natalie going to afford a lawyer? There's no more money.
Well, somebody slid into her DMs. Mark my words. All right, y'all, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Angela and Michael.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and
The Canadian Sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle. I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope.
So here's the deal with Angela and Michael, I want to say. I kind of thought this would go one way, and I was a little surprised about the feelings that kind of came up for me watching this. And basically, I don't know. I know they just showed the segment of Angela showing her tits and all that.
Yeah, that was the Angela that we knew we were going to see.
But we did kind of get this softer side of Angela that we haven't gotten a lot of in the beginning.
I think this, I did not expect to see this. Mm-hmm. I expected a lot more just yelling at Mike.
Yeah.
Right off.
Yeah.
Or Michael right off. And I expected a lot of the talking over him.
Yeah.
And I did not expect her listening to him, which... We haven't seen all season.
She did some, not really at the end, but she did some.
No. Don't worry, we're getting there, y'all. We're getting to Jerry Springer territory.
She's still pretty verbally abusive to him. So, but not at first.
I was kind of like just waiting. So yeah. The thing about this, Sean says, and I believe Sean was trying to get Angela to go off.
Yeah.
And Sean says, or maybe the control room, whoever is in her ear.
Yeah.
Sean says, why were you so upset about how Michael was treating you during your surgery? And we found out he only checked in once a day. He disappeared to go to church, family outings. As he says, he disappeared. He's like, but I went for church and family outings. And
Angela didn't know where he was.
I don't know. And then they're talking. Michael says, "I did not support this surgery at first."
Yeah, he said, "I don't like it. I didn't like it at all."
And she was listening to him, and she said, "But I'm doing this for you, so I can live longer."
That's where it kind of got
with you. And I went, "I've never heard you say that."
Well, because she
that's
finally
interesting.
It's she. No, she says, "Well, Michael said." Angela's the one, we don't know where it came from, but the way the narrative went for this season was Angela was doing this to be sexy Meemaw.
Right, sexy Meemaw.
And so we thought, okay, that's what she's telling Michael. We even said she kind of mentions her health and things as an afterthought. It's not really right. Kind of what she leads with.
Right.
So this was really, we're going through all this, we're doing all this so you can get here, but what if you never get here because I'm not here?
And she said, and there was
remember,
really interesting.
Her mom just died like a year ago.
And she says, "I didn't know." She said, "I was worried that I might not make it. I'm not in good health. I might not make it if it takes a longer time to. What if you get here and I'm not here, like you just said?"
So
I think this is
a failure in storytelling. I think
I know people who don't like Angela and who are. Think she's abusive. And I agree. I think she is abusive.
Yeah.
People are going to say that this is just her trying to be sympathetic. Mm-hmm. But I think we have to take what these people give us.
To me, a failure in storytelling, because either the producers should have brought this up earlier.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure they got this out in some interviews and should have made this more of a plot line instead of the sexy Meemaw thing.
Yeah.
Or not, because it does seem to come out of, I understand why people think this does seem like just she talked to a PR person and then they said, you need a different talking point for why you had the surgery.
Yeah.
I don't think it's coming from a fake place, but I get why people think that.
Me too. I understand it.
It adds up to me actually with what happened with her mom and her, it adds up
haven't seen her. We haven't seen her behave. So we've seen her in previous seasons behave very abrasively towards him, mm-hmm. but none where she was thinking so self-serving.
Yeah.
It was mostly about ownership of him. But this was all about her. And we haven't seen that as much on other seasons.
And something that we thought, I guess, was just not in the edit. Angela brings up, he was just worried about my boobs the entire time. And Sean asked Michael, "So she told you it was for her health and you didn't want to get that?" And Michael says, "I was selfish about it.
Yeah.
There was nothing I could do. I couldn't tell her no. I was mad that she still went ahead and did it." So I'm like, wait a minute. So now Michael admits that he wasn't. That she did say was for her health, and he didn't care. And
in retrospect, so maybe they've talked about it. She's kind of convinced him of that.
Again, failure in storytelling. Like I is confused by this.
This felt like a reinterpretation of the
That's
season.
That's what it feels like to me too. I'm like, but this isn't what we saw, dude.
Yeah.
So not what we saw from either of you.
So then this is interesting. She turns this to, And about the reason why she got the breast surgery is because I could tell he wasn't happy. And then he was making fun of me and maybe making me feel bad. And y'all, Angela does not like to cry. This is not something she does.
I don't think she meant to cry.
This is authentic.
I thought so too.
This is Angela doesn't want to cry because she doesn't want to look weak.
Yeah.
And Angela was honest about this. And she said, you made fun of my boobs and that really hurt me.
Yeah.
And for her to say that, I thought that was a Rubicon and absolutely just a big link to cross.
Well, and Angela explained again, she's like, "You don't understand, over there, big people are admired." And they kind of talk about, like Michael talks about,
they don't need to lose weight.
Like people don't lose weight over there. And Asuelu actually jumped in and he said, "I'm the skinny one in my family and I get made fun of. It is. People think I don't look good because I'm not big." And Michael says, "I finally accepted it because of the reason that she did need to do this for his health." But this idea of Angela talking about the pain of being made fun of, because y'all, she's probably, Angela's been made fun of. That's why Angela is Angela. That's why Angela puts herself out there in front of you, loud crowd.
And she's going to make fun of herself before you
do. She does this because she's been abused, because she's been talked down to, because people do talk about her large breast, and she does the wet t-shirt. And I'm not saying it makes it right. I'm just saying this is her
but
process.
But yeah, she has to do it first, so she beats everyone to it.
Because I call her abusive and cancel her, but we're doing this podcast because we try, unless someone is fucking Ed or Jeffrey with a record of beating women, we're going to try to understand you.
Yeah.
As best we can. We don't have to agree with it.
Right.
It's just the understanding of it.
And I guarantee you that's the language she heard growing up.
Oh.
That verbal abuse was probably currency in her household.
And as soon as she started getting big breasts at a young age, she started getting y'all, Angela's not this quote unquote, I know this story. She's not this quote-unquote feminine woman of the set. She was probably a tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
She got along with all the boys. Then suddenly she starts getting boobs. She gets big, big breasts. Then now the guys are looking. It's a different thing. She's never gotten along with women. She's never had women friends.
Nope.
She never will have women friends. So suddenly now all these things that Michael, she kind of feels, accepts her on and loves her for, now he's the person making fun of her.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, probably the reason why they will never work out, because that's why she will never trust him again.
I agree. I agree with that. So we find out that Ronald, of course, has to get in and says, it's very hard to give someone support emotionally if they're remotely. And Tiffany, in lightning, says, no, it's not.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I it's a horrible thing, but I just busted out laughing. She can't help herself.
She can't let Ronald just say something because honestly, I agree with Ronald. I think and I'll just be very honest, for people that weren't, honestly, people like my family and even my own partner who would call me when I was having hard days with my dad.
It's hard to support someone who's
it felt like they're trying, but it's just lip service. And not from their perspective, but what I need someone, when I was in the midst of it, I need someone to like actually help me cook dinner for my dad while I'm changing the bed sheets because he beat on him. It's shit like that. I actually need a body there to support me. And Angela, when you're going through a surgery, you actually need someone to like support you. Your back is aching. You rub your back. Like, she needed someone there, and Michael couldn't be that.
And also, she's not able to ask for it because Angela will never be able to ask for help.
And it's not Michael's fault because she chose to have this when he's there. But it's just a sucky situation.
So we also find out that Tiffany is getting the same surgery that Angela had. She's getting the sleeve. And
she says it's a right start. And Ronald says, we've had lots of arguments about that topic.
And this is interesting. Tiffany did say, going into this, she's like, the surgery changes your body and your stomach and your eating. She's like, but not your mind. So I'll have to work on that afterwards. So at least, boy, if she can really work on herself. First of all, she should not be with Ronald anymore. But she may be able to live a happier life. And she needs to not get rid of, but she'll need to process all that anger.
Yeah.
And all of that resentment. She's got so much resentment.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Look, Tiffany's a beautiful woman. She's probably going to, if she loses weight, she'll be like Angela. She'll probably dress differently.
Oh,
she'll probably get different attention from men.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that being overwhelming to Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's getting different attention from different types of guys. And I just think that for people I know that have gone through this,
it'll make it worse.
It makes it worse if you don't kind of process this confidence issue. So I would be interested to follow her on that journey, though. I think that could be very, because Angela brings up a point. She's like, thank you for saying that. She's like, but I'm older than Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at a different place. My body doesn't bounce back.
Heal as fast.
That's what I mean. Like, she physically needed someone there. And speaking of having someone there.
Let's bring out Skylar. My daughter, Skylar.
Y'all, I mean, they're like an advertisement for mane and tail conditioner. Just a horse tail
Skylar's
on top of that head.
Hair, y'all. And her outfit.
Skylar's fine. She's a beautiful woman, but this... I love it that you want to look like your mom. That's great. But can we get a hair extension that's brown?
Yeah.
That's
I like
color
it how she's
hair.
Sticking with those porn glasses, too. She's always got those porn glasses
always on. Always on. She's always going to come off at any time.
So they ask, Sean says, Michael, she sits on the fainting couch.
Mm-hmm.
Butters left some residue there from on the ground.
She has.
And she's like, Michael wasn't supportive at all. And she's like, he said, don't waste
she
money.
She said he was throwing a tantrum at the surgery.
Right.
She said it was more of, don't waste money on something else. I will say, obviously, she's Angela's daughter.
Right.
But Skylar can often be very kind of the voice of reason, even in Angela's life, and tell her mother, like, hey, mama, you're acting. So I believe Skylar when she says this.
She's more reliable than.
She is a more reliable. And Sean says, you know, do you think your wife acted appropriately and with all of this? And Michael says, I felt so jealous.
And then we talked about Dr. Obeng.
And we're like, wait, what?
The
what
doctor
are we
who
talking
smelled
about?
Good.
And
this
we're
is
like,
her.
What?
And I'm sure that was hard for Michael to watch. And
I thought this was, I kind of loved it because y'all, so much has been, as one of our listeners said, Angela would freak out if a beautiful nurse took Michael's temperature.
Yep.
And the fact that now, and they talk about that, you thought,
okay. She got called out, y'all. She couldn't say a word.
And then Sean says, so Angela, you've only seen Dr. And Kalani even says, Kalani says, if those situation was reversed, Angela would be really, really pissed about the way Michael would have acted. And that's true. Then Sean said, so you've only seen Dr. Obeng at the office, right,
and
Angela?
She goes, and Skylar's like, he took her home. The shade rattle.
The shade rattle. And she said, well, I went to his birthday party out in California. And then Sean said, so were you ever alone
with him?
Dr. Obeng?
She's like, well,
and finally,
Michael
Sean says,
loses
well, Sean
it.
Sean said, Angela doesn't answer like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And Sean says, my producer says that Dr. Obeng drove you home. Angela, I forgot about that.
Y'all, and they filmed it. So, of course, they have footage.
She's caught, and it's glorious.
She's never been caught before.
It is glorious.
It is something.
It is glorious.
And I wrote down, this is the first time he's ever flipped this on her
it
without
is.
Her, because she knows he would be, she knows that if the situation, she knows, this is the thing, there's a little bit of perspective here. She knows if the situation reversed, she would literally castrate him.
Oh.
Literally.
She would be so abusive to him.
Yeah.
And she could say, it's nothing. And Michael said,
I was sick, Michael.
She tries to then make him feel bad. Y'all, this was like last week. She's over her surgery. Yeah. She's not a dying patient.
Well, this is the breast surgery, so it wasn't.
But still,
yeah.
Michael says, you curse me out and say all these things.
Right.
And she starts to talk, and Michael says, shut up. And she says, shut up. And Michael says, you don't tell me to shut up. You don't tell me like you did before. And then, I mean, Angela completely, she just kind of folds and then becomes a destructive animal.
And becomes,
like, I've got to cause a distraction and make this. And Michael says, don't you tell me. And because Michael says, he's like, what did you tell me? She's like, when I go out, and Michael says, when I go out, you ask every goddamn detail.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She said, oh, you've done it now, baby. And Michael says, don't you tell me I've done it, baby.
I I will say this was the most satisfying interaction I've had them have. Oh. Because finally he has.
Michael says, you go and marry him then.
Oh. Precious. And she's then all of a sudden she goes, you're an asshole, Michael.
That's when she just decides, I'm just going to say you're an asshole.
And then, y'all.
It's a butter tactic. I'm going to scream and scream and scream until someone believes me.
Then Aunt Lydia shows up. And I'm like, are we literally trying to make her see red?
Yes.
At this point?
Yes.
We're trying to bring out evil Angela.
Yes, and it works. Flawlessly.
And Sean is like, what do you think about Angela? She's like, she looks good. Her look is okay.
She looks sexy. She's pretty okay. And Sean said, do you know why she got the surgery? She said she wanted to look sexy for him. But she doesn't need to look sexy. He loves her the way she is. Again, they don't know the real reason why Angela's trying to say now that she had this surgery, which I don't know. A part of me buys, but a part of me doesn't.
But at the same time, it's none of Aunt Lydia's business.
You can't come into
Angela's world with any sense of ownership.
And it's none of her business, though, in America and where Michael lives and where Michael's grown up. This is a family affair.
Right.
Coming out for a family affair.
It's not family affair, public affair.
We
have litigated that.
I don't remember it.
I'm glad that you're actually making the same mistakes.
Love that song, Jessica Simpson. Family affair.
Public affair.
Family affair. Gary, that's what I said.
You should have sang, it's a family affair. Which is a much more popular song. It's a family affair.
That is a popular song.
It's Sly and the Family Stone.
Yeah. Anyway, y'all.
No, we prefer a Jessica Simpson cut.
Yeah.
From Jesus.
I love that video.
That was the weird one with random friends that
Christina Aguilera or no Applegate and Eva Mendez.
No, Eva
Longoria.
Eva Longoria.
They're also skating in a skating rink.
It was weird.
It was weird.
It's like, when we put these women together?
Yeah, it would be like Poodle making a music video and Billie Eilish shows up. They've never talked.
I had a lot to say to Billie Eilish.
Yeah, she would have nothing to say to you.
I think we'd have a good conversation.
No, she wouldn't.
I'm like,
she would look at you and say, you're old.
How dare you? No, she's the kind of young person who wants to be old. She would ask me about
it. In theory.
So, of course, Aunt Lydia brings up the fact that she wants Michael to have a child. And then Michael's and is like, yo, always bringing up babies, babies, babies. And Angela can't you accept it?
She just goes off and Michael's like, let her talk, let her talk. And
Kalani's face again.
And basically, Angela's just screaming. It got really good, though, when
screaming.
Angela said, I don't reserve you any respect. Y'all remember, y'all have heard us talk about when people start throwing the word respect around. Well, Aunt Lydia, though, says what we all know. She says, I do deserve more respect than you because I was here before you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Angela kind of has nothing to say to that.
Well, Angela's like, I don't know. Are you screwing him?
And yeah, she tries to make it weird. She's trying to distract. And she's like, I've never seen anyone be so nosy.
And she says, Michael, your aunt wants you to get divorced. What do you think? And she's up, y'all. She is now caged. She's the lion prowling. She's just in a circle. She's already, she's lost control. She's trying to figure out what camera to talk into to find Aunt Lydia. And
then she shows her tits.
And she shows her titties. And then I went, this is the Jerry Springer episode we all wanted.
And y'all,
we didn't deserve it. We kind of wanted it.
She was already on Jerry Springer before, so she just...
And this is
and
the
she
part,
storms off set, and I hope she doesn't come back for the rest of the
tell-all. This is the part of reality of Angela's experience, of her Angela's personality and performance that is just exhausting.
Yes.
And we all know we all know she does it, and there's a certain audience for it who I'm not that audience.
I don't think a lot of our listeners are that audience.
I'm interested in seeing the Angela who is dealing with her whole life right now and trying to start a new life with someone else. Not the social media influence, not the angry rant throwing.
Well, and because all that comes down to, y'all, is she gets scared and she gets vulnerable and she got real and she's in a shame cycle about that.
Yep.
And then she got called out for not practicing what she preaches. And instead of admitting I was wrong.
She can never do that.
Instead of saying I was wrong, Angela has to throw a tantrum.
Mm-hmm. And she does that.
She was wrong.
And I wrote down at that point, Jovi wanted to produce a roll of money and go to Angela's boobs.
Yeah, he did. It was all he could do. He was just like, hey, boobies. Like,
oh, boobies.
Somebody boobs. Not my wife. Not
can
my wife.
Can I go get a lap dance from Angela?
Jovi.
So that's the show, y'all.
That's the show. This is a short second half, but let's be honest. We were worn out by the first half. Sorry, y'all.
Sorry.
I was busy, dude.
I was busy.
So, y'all, you know the drill. Go to realitygazepodcast.com. Also, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Please.
We appreciate that so much. Be sure to write in there. Keep going, Queens. Because if you just leave a review, it doesn't count as much. So we appreciate the written reviews. And if you don't have anything nice to say, then you don't need to say anything at all. We're good with that. y'all find us on Instagram at Reality Gaze Podcast, Twitter at Reality Gaze Pod. You can find Poods and me on Cameo.
Yep.
Notice I said Poods and me on purpose because that's what everybody fucking says on reality TV.
What?
Golly, does anybody on reality TV?
No, me. You can. That's actually correct.
Well, I mean, sorry. I'm kind of going into another.
Me and Omar. Me and Poods.
Ever say like Omar and I went to the store? Does anybody on reality TV say that anymore?
But you are correct. You can find. But the reason why you're right. You can find me because me is the direct object.
Yes, you can say That's how you do it, y'all. Just so you know.
You ruined it.
It just made me think of it. Anyway, y'all. We call these people lonely hearts because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places, Poodle?
Yes. And if you've ever wanted for your son, I want a good old girl, a butterina, call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.